listening on CFMU FM 93.3.
The piano's mostly made out of wood. Except for the big cast iron frame, which gives the piano the support it needs to stay in tune properly.
We've got everything on the keyboard. We can be everybody, whereas other instruments have only one voice, usually.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
I'm Dave Potter, and I'm the owner proprietor of Old World Piano Service, and we recondition, refinish, rebuild, tune, and generally service all makes and models of pianos. Well, I started originally in my teens teaching basic piano at a small music store, and there was a technician there that needed an apprentice, and around the age of 17, I apprenticed with him for a few years. To be able to play is an asset. There were over 250 piano manufacturers in the early 1900s, and as time's gone by, I think the last went into receivership probably around 1984. Pianos are primarily made out of wood. But an important component of the piano is a large cast iron frame that gives the piano strength, because it's under a lot of tension. There's a lot of strings in the piano, and to keep the wood from flying apart, an iron frame is used to support that. And the iron frame weighs usually 200 to 300 pounds, and that's what adds so much weight to it. There are other components in the piano. The strings, of course, which I mentioned, which are steel, and the tuning pins or the tuning pegs, which are also steel. These things all contribute some weight. And then the third, probably most important component is what's called the action. And that comprises a fair bit of weight as well. And it's the all of the moving parts that contribute to creating the sound of the piano by striking the strings, and that includes the keys and what are called the hammers and the dampers. The soundboard is located at the back of the piano. You would have to, if it's an upright, you'd have to pull the piano away from the wall to really see it. It's really only a thin piece of wood. It's about a quarter of an inch thick, and it is the voice of the piano. It amplifies the sounds of the strings so that you can hear them properly. You don't want a soundboard that has a lot of cracks in it. If it's exposed to a dry environment, the soundboard can crack. So you don't put your piano right in front of a fireplace or something. That can cause problems with the sound. The piano mainly goes out of tune because it's affected by changes in temperature and humidity mainly. So if you keep it in your home, for instance, and your home is not air conditioned in the summer or very well heated in the winter, the piano is going to experience fluctuation or real big changes in the humidity or the moisture in the air. And the moisture in the air swells up the wooden components, which stretches the strings up in the summertime. And then in the wintertime, when all the wood drops the moisture, it shrinks, and again the strings relax, and it's this up and down motion of the strings that cause it to go out of tune. It's really best if you can tune your piano once a year. That will keep the piano in good condition. If the piano has a twangy or sort of echoey type of sound, then probably the piano needs tuning. If the piano's been exposed to extreme high humidity where the strings have rusted badly and they break during the course of a tuning, that's a pretty good indication that the instrument needs new strings. But unlike a guitar, where the strings are being handled by hands all the time, the guitar strings need to be changed quite frequently because of all of the salt and acids in the skin on your hands causes the guitar strings to deteriorate. Piano strings don't have that problem. Piano can last a long time. My piano is over 100 years old and it's still going, and with good care it can continue to go on. Number one, don't keep your piano in a place where it's going to see high and low temperatures. So don't keep it in a garage or something like that. And try to maintain a stable environment in your home, so make sure your home doesn't get too dry or too moist. Tune your piano once a year, and if you do have it tuned, most tuners will usually clean the piano out if you ask them. If you're concerned about dust and dirt, they will usually take care of that for you.
And what are the skills needed to become a piano tuner or technician?
Well, a good sense of working with wood, for sure. You do have to have a reasonable sense of pitch or what sounds like, so some musical sense is an asset. And I would say probably mostly is lots of patience. This is just the sound of the piano strings ringing freely. If you pluck them, yeah, the bass strings are thicker, and they produce a lower tone. And as you go higher, the strings become shorter. You can see that very high-end strings are only a couple of inches long. And as we said before, the piano is mostly made out of wood. Except for the big cast iron frame, which gives the piano the support it needs to stay in tune properly. So when a piano is tuned,
are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Hi, my name is Bob Wiseman, and I'm a pianist. I do music for television and film. I produce records for other musicians. I write my own compositions and record them and arrange them. I don't recall when I first became interested in music. I come from a musical family. I have three older brothers, and my mother played piano, and my brothers all played. I'm the youngest, and they were all playing ever since I can remember. I remember all of them having instruments and me playing kitchen utensils because they had the instruments. Two of them were at the piano, my mother and one of my brothers. One of them was on the clarinet, one was on the cello. And I would play pot lids. And so ever since I can remember, I played. As time went on, the piano became the focus of what I played specifically. And the brother closest to me in age, who's 5 years older than me, was always more sophisticated than me. But everybody told me continually as I was growing up that he wasn't as good as I was when he was my age. So there was this wonderful game race going on when I was a kid to try and catch up with Ron, and I did. I'm self-taught, despite my parents sending me to a teacher. I hated the teacher. She scared me. I pleaded with them to let me leave, and eventually they consented because they saw what kind of shock I was in. She was scary. She would threaten to put the ashes of her cigarette on my fingers. She was horrible. Also, I was a kid, and I wanted to play music on the radio. Classical music that's ordinarily taught to children didn't resonate with me because it was too sophisticated. My brother instead was playing boogie woogies or whatever, and he would play games with me where he would get me to play the left part so that he could play the right part. The right part was, of course, the area where there was all the action. The left part was all just repetitions, but it's hard to coordinate both. So I was happy to just be close to him and helping out while he would do things that were much more sophisticated. But it was great because I was listening all the time to what he was doing and trying to figure out how to do it and listening to a lot of the same music. It was in retrospect, fantastic, because by the time I became an adult and met musicians who only played classical music or only could read and couldn't improvise, it was a bewildering experience how frequently they would ask me to help them learn to improvise and make music up. And it was very surprising that they weren't connected with the instrument in that way. I think some people just have it, and I think some people just don't have it. And the don't have it's try as hard as they can. They might be able to get it, but many of those who don't have it will go through their life not having it. And a lot of them make peace with that, and they know they don't have it, and they can't figure it out. I used to try and show them. I used to believe anyone can do it, and I still want to live life that way, but I know from experience that lots of people who don't have it, whether it's playing the piano or trying to speak other languages or cooking, are just never going to get it. It's almost like a caste system in India or something. You know, I don't want to subscribe to that, but metaphorically it's like, yeah, there's like almost different classes of ability. You know, my parents were ambivalent about my playing. That was great. I mean, my motivation was my pleasure, and I think my peers. It was part of my identity that made me special in the crowd. And I always was like the best piano player. There'd be other kids I'd hear about who I heard were real good. And I'd see them, and I usually could size them up, and they usually weren't as good as people thought. I could tell that I could do things. And I enjoyed that. I mean, I had three brothers. It was all pretty competitive, and that, worked its way into my life, for better or for worse. And
I remember practicing the piano and my parents turning the TV up louder and louder. At least they didn't tell me, they never went, stop playing. But I thought it was insulting. But I also was glad in a way that they were in their own world and I could just do my thing. I've never been so comfortable in my life to play the piano while other people can hear me as I was as a boy. I approach the piano in kind of a primitive way. There's the scales and there's ordinary music that's harmonic and beautiful. But I try to treat the piano largely topographically. And that interests me a lot, to play it like a caveman, to understand a lot about music, but to not just try to play blues or jazz or rock or swing. I think classical music is closer to that primitive thing, even though it's so sophisticated, especially Bach. Because Bach approaches the piano, partly because he was one of the first people to come to it, I suspect. He approaches it with a very open mind about both hands. The bulk of piano repertoire has to do with the left hand being essentially a bass player, like my brother had me doing when we were kids. And the right hand is coloring, being melodic. But in Bach, you know, there's no classism in the hands with Bach. They're both doing a lot of musical things, absurdly complicated musical things. And so when you dissect Bach, especially if you're a pianist, you realize he's never doing things that are shortcuts for the hands. There's lots of other music that you learn by Chopin or whoever, and you realize that, you know, or Thelonious Monk, a lot of it is written. Thelonious Monk's music is very topographic. A lot of it has to do with gestures that are very easy for the hand to do, and that's partly why they're dissonant. It's because it has to do with just playing the black notes or things like that. And that's fine, that's cool. But Bach's always taking very unusual acrobatic directions.